Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint are my guests today, talking about The River in Reverse, their new collaboration, and the first album recorded in New Orleans post-Katrina. I ask Elvis about his long-standing relationship with the Crescent City and about his first time there.
I visited New Orleans on my first tour of America. It was about my fourth date, I think, in the United States, was in New Orleans. I think we played San Francisco, Los Angeles, and then New Orleans. And that was the kind of tour schedule that we kept in those days. We played a club called Jed's, and there's a certain horrible irony to this story, but the water main in the building burst, and the audience stood in maybe a foot of water all the way through the show. There was water almost up to the edge of the stage. And, you know, we didn't have a very big crowd, as you might imagine, your first time in town, and there were some hardy people. And, you know, perhaps this should have told me something about the resilience of New Orleans people, that those that wanted, you know, the few that did want to hear us stood in a good foot or two of water, a foot of water, I would say. So there's a horrible irony to that. I'm almost ashamed to tell you that story because anybody thinks I'm making fun, but it's absolutely true.
Now, what about the music? I mean, you're a well-documented fan of pop and R&B, and was New Orleans a particular area that you were always interested in?
Well, there's the long time frame answer to that, which is that I really do believe that that popular music wouldn't be exactly as it is today if it hadn't been for New Orleans music, and specifically Louis Armstrong. The things that you might say he invented, I don't think he invented them like a scientist in a laboratory, rather just instinctively, and developed out of all the threads and all the overlay of different cultures in New Orleans. If you listen to his recordings and all the liberty that gave almost everybody, even people that don't even know they owe a debt to him, people that don't even understand anything about him or have never heard him play a note, are indebted to the liberties that he and other New Orleans musicians gave to the expression of rhythm. That's the long answer. The short answer is that as a kid growing up, I didn't know any of that. I did hear Fortune Teller played by the Searchers, a Merseybeat group, and I had no idea that it was written by Alan Toussaint at the time because I didn't check the writing credits on records in those days. I assumed the artist was responsible for the song solely. But you mentioned Lee Dorsey earlier on, and when I heard Lee Dorsey records on the radio in England, I got very curious about where they came from because they sounded so distinct from everything else. And little by little, I found out that it was Alan who was responsible for that and all these other songs. And I still find myself discovering songs and pieces of music that Alan wrote. I mean, it's an extraordinary catalogue.
You know, talking about all the roots of all this music, Alan, I'd love you to give the story of a track that hopefully you can play live for us, Ascension Day. How did this come about?
Ascension Day, that's quite a gem, I must say, what it turned out to be. Of course, Professor Long has, to say the least, is my mentor. I tried to emulate Professor Longhead long as I can remember, and I take him very seriously, and I've taken several of his pieces and played them in another mode, and especially that one. In fact, that was the leader of the pack of Professor Longhead tunes that I've begun to convert. But anyway, I had been playing it in a minor key just for my own benefit at home. Never intended to take it any further than that. I just was in love with that mode of Professor Longhair, like all the rest. And Joe Henry heard me playing that once and asked me would I record that. And I said, yes, of course. It's something that I play anyway. And I'm glad to say that it was documented then. However, Elvis heard it and thought he could add lyrics to it, and I had never thought of it in such a way. Now, I thought lyrics might be added to it and maybe someday, but not anywhere near how Elvis heard it. And Elvis is such a master at his perception of things.
Here's a live version of that. This is Ascension Day from our guests Alan Toussaint and Elvis Costello.
Not a soul was stirring, not a bird was singing, at least not within my hearing. I was 5 minutes past caring, standing in a row just staring. Thought I heard somebody pleading. Thought I heard someone apologize. Some fell down weeping. Others shook their fists up at the sky. And those who were left seemed to be wearing disguises. Now there's a queen in waiting. Not enough loving and too much hating. For the prince hidden within a man always seems to be hesitating. He said, let her go, let her go, God bless her. She hasn't been gone long enough for me to miss her. Except for every minute of every hour, every day when I wish I could possess her. For the days pass by, for the alibis, so carry on that way, and in time you pay. But we'll all be together come Ascension Day. Not a leaf was hanging on the tree like when it started, but I know they will return like they've never gone away. Come Ascension Day.
Ascension Day, that is such a wonderful reworking of Tipitina with new lyrics that you will find on River in Reverse, the new album from our guest today, Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, who are joining us today. Tell me about Sharpest Thorn. Who's going to field that one?
Well, Sharpest Thorn, Ascension Day was the first song that broke open the process of writing together. We were involved in this intense week of work, playing either together or on the same bill at a number of benefit shows that were put together by the music community in response to the Katrina disaster. And in between those, Alan was also still performing his solo concerts at Joe's Pub. And at one of these, I thought of the idea of an Alan Toussaint songbook being a kind of record that should be made, and maybe I should be involved in the making of it or somehow. And the idea was forming in my head. And by the end of the week, I had begun to really sort of talk about it with Alan. Once I had written a song myself that seemed to belong with that idea, it was obvious that we should extend it to try and write some songs together. But I have to be honest that the first time we sat down together at the piano, it was as if the piano was made of electricity and neither one of us wanted to touch it first. I suppose it was a little bit too much courtesy. And Ascension Day, the piece that we played a little while ago for you, was the first marriage of an idea of Alan's in music and some words of mine, even though it had its origins in this transcription of Professor Longhair's Tipitina. Once we went through that door, it seemed more possible for us to write any kind of way of writing, like some words in music, combining our ideas on lyrics, combining our ideas in music, sometimes finding four hands on the piano, working through the music bar by bar. And I'm really glad of that, because we had every single song that we've written together has a different formula for composition. Sharpest Thorn is unusual in that it's predominantly my music, but we wrote the words together. It's really a story about pride and some eventual humbling wisdom that befalls a partygoer, a man who goes out dressed to in his finery to some New Year's Eve, Mardi Gras, you choose a celebration, and comes back with confetti in his hand, his pockets picked, and a little bit more realization. I don't know where the story came from, but we sort of pieced it together from a conversation. This is the Sharpest Thorn.
I wore my finest suit of clothes, the sharpest thorn defending the rose. Hard as a pistol, keen as a blade, the sharpest thorn upon parade. And it's the same most every year. Go sod the deed, departed a meal. We raise our glasses and we cheer. Should old acquaintance disappear, just as we wipe away a tear, Archangel Michael will lead the way. Archangel Gabriel is ready to play. Sins that haven't even been invented, the strongest cage that guards the prize, the longest lash that covers your eyes, a sight no eyes are meant to know. Then on the third day he arose. Archangel Michael will lead you. Archangel Gabriel is ready to play. Although we know we must repent, we hit the scene and look for sins that haven't even been invented. So good and evil were having a fight. It lasts much longer than any one night. It may last longer than a life, and turn a mistress into a wife. So confetti who fills the air. My head is aching, my pockets are bare. I didn't recognize the warning. Then I wasn't born the sharpest thorn. I wasn't born the sharpest thorn. I wasn't born the sharpest thorn. I wasn't born the sharpest thorn.
Sharpest Thorn, Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, our guests. And we've got just a little more time. And I was wondering if you guys could do Nearer to You and maybe tell a little bit, Alan, maybe tell a little bit about that one.
Well, Nearer to You has never been better than it is now. From the very, very first note, when you first hear the first human voice, and I must say, the song is a song that I thought I knew for a long time, having written it. However, it touched me as if it's something that brand new when I hear Elvis' first utterance on it. It really knocks me out. I'm almost embarrassed how much I like it.
I must say the first things I heard about you two working together was from Joe Henry, who ended up being the producer of the albums. I think we might be remiss if we didn't mention his role in this. And explain that a little bit, because I think some people have trouble understanding, you know, what a producer can do to help two artists in this situation.
Well, Joe, of course, had been in the studio with Alan last year working on a wonderful record called I Believe to My Soul, a collaborative record between Alan, Emma Thomas, Ann Peebles, Mavis Staples and Billy Preston. And it was actually Joe who I called to find out if he had heard anything of Alan's whereabouts and well-being immediately after Katrina hit. As the process of us working together and the week I described came about, I was talking on the phone to Joe, and the idea about the record started to form in my head, and then I shared it with Alan, and he responded, and next thing I knew, we were writing songs, and it seemed natural, really. It was both Alan and I are record producers, that it might be either one of us could have taken the responsibility to produce the record, but as we were going to be the performers, it seemed to be very, very a good sense to have somebody standing outside of that performing role.
Amen.
And Joe was just the man. And Joe and Husky, who took care of the controls of the board, did a marvelous job. We went to work in a studio that they knew very well in Hollywood originally, and then a studio that we had very little experience of. Alan knew, and obviously a studio which had just reopened, and the people at Party deserve a lot of credit. They're one of those businesses, and it was important emotionally, I think, for the record to be returned to the place where a lot of this music was written. I thought it was the right thing to do. I was glad and happy to take some of the record company budget and spend it in New Orleans, not only just in the studio but also in the hotels and any other business. We could show the way in that way, that the city is not mortally wounded. It's wounded, but people need to go back there and spend money and help with it. And, you know, obviously things like Mardi Gras and particularly Jazz Fest show the way. And music listeners, of course, who love the city for everything that's given to us, were there in great number at Jazz Fest. This song that we're going to sing was the one that I made a guest appearance with Alan, with Alan's band, and it was a real joy and a great honor, really, to be on the stage with him and at his homecoming in those circumstances. And this song, which is a song of longing, it occurred to me as I was singing it that it had this line in it, I know you say that you'll be home soon. And it had an appropriateness in that moment that I was singing it that had never occurred to me quite in the same force. And that's one of the beautiful things about going back to songs that have been heard in the past. So this is Nearer to You.
In a little more intimate performance than Jazz Fest, this is Nearer to You.
That's right.
Thank you. did I do? I'm trying to get closer to you. Nearer, nearer, nearer. I'm sorry if I seem a little bit stubborn sometimes.
Finishing up our session today, Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, a true pleasure. Thank you for River in Reverse. Thank you for all of your work, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you.